Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
We're joined in the house by
Mr. Nasruddin Rahman.
Hello, sir. How are you?
38 years old, not single, not available, unfortunately.
How many children?
Three.
Just to clarify, right?
Yes, fortunately, I have to say that.
Right. So we kind of set up the show a little bit about how a lot of people's tummies may be rumbling by the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. Like me?
Tell us about the show that you host, and I'm sure everybody's aware of it already.
All right. For those who are not in the know, of course, I host Malaysia's number one food show, Jalan Jalan Cari Makan. That's on TV3. That's on Sundays, 12 p.m. We've got a big following. The show's been around for 10 years and more.
Actually. Right, mm-hmm. Right. You've been involved in the industry, the entertainment industry, for quite some time now,
about
right?
About 15 years,
15
right?
or 16 years or so, right?
Actually, longer than that, a little bit. Mm-hmm. About 18 years. Started dabbling in it when I was still in school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Actually, started off as a dancing group. We called ourselves NRG. Not really good. Yes, we were not really good at marketing as well, as you can see. But, unknown to us, there was another group called NRG.
There was indeed, yes.
Yes, a 14-piece band.
Right, right.
Yeah, and after we made the papers and our manager received a letter, not a very nice letter, stating that if the name NRG is associated with yourselves or any person of your ilk, we will sue you.
Wow.
But didn't that NRG have like an exclamation mark at the end of their name?
Was
well,
there?
Somehow it's pretty hard to go, we're NRG and we're NRG!
Exactly, yeah. But that would have made a big difference, you know?
Well, not to the lawyers, that's for sure.
This is true, this is true. Now, we will be talking, of course, about the TV show and about some of the stuff that kind of perhaps goes on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that, a quick reminder, we do have a giveaway. If you want to take part, the number to remember is 016-201-9000. And if you want to take part in the show in any other way, you can get in touch via Twitter at BFM Radio or at BFM TTON. Now, my first question then. How on earth did you get involved in a food show?
big question. Mm. I've been in the industry, as you said, around 18 years. And I've built quite a bit of a portfolio. I've done a kids show. I've done a business and finance show.
Right.
I was the anchor for a news and current affairs show for about 7 years, mm-hmm. the breakfast show. So a lot of experience under the wing. But unknown to everyone, I was also a secret foodie. So when I post...
Isn't every Malaysian like a secret foodie,
yeah.
or rather a public foodie?
That is true. All Malaysians will raise their hands and go, I love food. But how much do you love food?
Right.
Yes. The criteria for a food host, I'd say, must be you got to know how to taste. You mm-hmm. may not be able to cook. Mm-hmm. You know, that might not be your skill, but you know how to taste. You mm-hmm. know, it tastes good. And, of course, you're in touch with the pulse of the nation.
Do right. you know how to cook?
That's really important. I try. Yeah, I see what these okay. guys do and go, wow, I can do that. You know, I go to the kitchen and make a mess out of myself. I go, I can't do this. That's why these guys... We all get paid a lot of money, that's
right,
why.
Right.
And so, moving on, I was approached by the producer of the show. They've been having Maria Tunku Sabri, which is the food. She's my seafood. Mm-hmm. Seafood. And because she's held the show for a long time, it's really tough to find someone to replace her. Mm-hmm. So in a span of 3 years, I think they've gone through, what, 4 hosts or 5 hosts, and all of them couldn't hit the right tone. And so when they brought me in, my condition was, okay, I'll do this. But one condition, it's not the host.
Right.
It's your content.
Right.
It's
right.
been the same for 10 years.
Right.
So we've done a bit of a revamp. So
yeah,
I've gotten my hands dirty, you know, and I wouldn't say step on a few necks, but just say shake things up a little bit.
So yeah. you're involved in the production side and
yes,
as well, right?
I write the script. I'm pretty much a script writer, direction. I wrote the proposal as well,
mm-hmm.
I think. And I'm so glad that Media Prima accepted it and, of course, is in tune with the ideas and willing to step forward mm-hmm. and take it to another level because it's not a food show anymore.
Right.
So
right.
now we call ourselves a food community.
Mm.
So the from the business point of view, people were judging the credibility of the show.
Right.
Yeah?
Right
so what
right.
does this mean? This pilihan jalan-jalan cari makan. So brainstorming, and I came up with the idea of, instead of, you know, let's just take the blame away from us. They're like, how are we going to do that? So instead of saying it's our choice, how about the people's choice?
Right.
And so we put it out there. Like us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, all the social media platforms, and we judge from there. So it's the support that these restaurants get. So if it's the people's choice, then we give them the plug, pilihan penonton jalan-jalan cari makan.
Ah, right. Smart.
And so if people come in and say, hey, this food is not so nice. Hey, don't mess with me, man. It's the people. The people voted. You know, you're not with the people, man.
That's smart.
So, well, it's a marketing move.
Yeah.
But it adds value.
It does.
It does add value to the restaurant as well.
Right.
So instead of eating 12 different kinds of food, you know, that's just ridiculous. Who eats 12 dishes when you go, go out to eat? And so we focus on 4 or 5 dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the restaurants can cope with it as well. So we like to think of ourselves as the support group. And now that we have an application as well that you can download for free, it debuted at the number one food app in Malaysia, number 49 in the world.
Really?
Yeah, we were above a certain hotel.
Yeah.
So they were like, "Woo, we're higher than Hotel XXX."
All right, we need to take a short break, but hold that thought. Mm-hmm. Folks, just a quick reminder again, 016-201-9000. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
We're joined in the studio by
Mr. Nasruddin Rahman. Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure for coming.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, sir.
Now, we set up early on about how you kind of got involved with the show. And you are, I mean, you're literally hands dirty, elbows deep within the show.
Oh, yes.
Right?
In Chinchalok Pekasam and all.
Ooh, yeah. Rich's favorite, Chinchalok.
Which I think is a great thing, because I think you can see TV shows all around the world, for example, and it's literally a... just somebody on screen, you know, and a kind of team behind them. Do you know what I mean? But the fact that you are fully involved in it and you've had actual say in the content as well, I think, is great. Now, moving on from that, and you've kind of shaken it all up on one thing or another, what happens when, and I know you've been asked this before, but you go into a restaurant and... you've been recommended a restaurant, perhaps, I don't know, from a friend or a colleague or whatever, and you've gone in and your first impressions is, I'm not so sure I'm going to enjoy this experience, right? I mean, you've got a camera crew with you. I mean, you know, how do you deal with that?
Well, first up, I've got to say that you realize after the first show itself and the support that it got, I'm in a position to make and break businesses.
Exactly.
You know, some people have put their whole life savings into such a thing, and for me to actually say, this sucks ass, I am not going to eat this. My God, can you imagine the...
Right. I mean, that's what I was going to say to you, because, you know, you're so involved with the show that you could become that scapegoat for somebody who loses their livelihood, for example.
Exactly,
right?
Why I always tell the truth. Yeah. And the truth can sometimes set you free. Okay? Taste is in the tongue of the beholder.
That's
simply put. And so what's nice to me may not be nice to you, and everybody knows this deep in their heart. It's just that, you know, sometimes they want to see something controversial on TV, that's it. So they try to push you, come
drama,
on.
Drama, like they want
some
drama.
All be nice, you know? And so I quote one particular position where I was supposed to taste a delicacy of the Sarawakian people called mee belacan. Okay? What I didn't know was they put half a cube of half that block. It's not a cube, it's a block of belacan. You know, your clothes smell of it if you go into the kitchen. And when it came up, my nostril hair curled. And I go, how do you eat this? You know?
Right.
But hey, I've never said no to anything
right.
as far as food is concerned.
So, but was it good?
It's after you get over the initial overwhelming taste. I love belacan, actually.
Right.
You know,
right.
I say on the show, dunia lebih indah dengan belacan. The world is more beautiful with belacan. More colours. But there's a little bit too much.
Right. It's an acquired taste, you might say.
You wouldn't want to go to the movies with your girlfriend after that.
Right.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
The smell of belacan.
So what I said was, now this is something I've never tasted before in my life. I'm not lying.
Right.
Yeah. And it has texture. This one, of course, the belacan can be overwhelming for some, but I must say, for those of you who love belacan, you are the kings of belacan, this is it. You got to try this.
Right, right.
Did I lie?
No, not at all, not at all, right.
And so if people come and say, what, this sucks, no, you don't like belacan enough. You know, simple as that. Some people would say, what, this is awesome, this is Sarawak, yay.
Right.
And even, well, I will withhold the name of the restaurant, of course.
Right.
But he was happy with it. And in the end, we did have some reviews on Facebook about it. Are you sure about this? And kudos to the social media team. It goes, you know, you got to go to Sarawak, you got to try it yourself. You know, these guys love it, and just expand your palate.
Right. I mean, it's just the same, like, you know, for food bloggers and all, and and when they write reviews, they're usually good reviews. You know, how often do you see bad reviews? Actually, never.
Rare, so like, very rarely.
Very
now,
rare, right? Mm-hmm. And they would put, like, you know, instead of 5 stars, they would put like maybe 3 stars or 2.5 or something. But for you, on your show Jalan Jalan Cari Makan, I mean, if the food is not so good, you know, how do you, you know, express, how do you, what would you say?
It's about positioning yourself, as far as, because the show is bigger than me, that's for sure. And so how do you want to portray yourself? I'm not a food critic. We are a food directory. We've got an app, for God's sake, you know, and we only suffer if we put bad food on the show. So we've got a little team which we go incognito. If I show my face, that's it. Oh yeah, you guys here, we're famous. The team comes in, and it's a consensus between 3 to 4 people. All of them must agree that okay, this place is good enough. Good. So, on the process of elimination, if it's not good enough, or if one person goes, no, this is definitely not good enough. So we quietly
right.
No one's the wiser.
So even though someone recommended you that place,
we get a lot of recommendations. That's for sure, especially from restaurant owners.
Of course,
which
of course.
Is you know, I mean, you have great credibility. Yeah, we believe you when you say your food is good, but we got to come and test it.
We got to come and test it anyway.
Yeah, and so if it's good, we come in and they go, they half pass out. So some of them actually, you know, I can't believe it. Yeah, I can't believe it. You guys are here. You guys are here, and. All's well ends well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think what's beautiful about it as well is that this is a show that here in Malaysia could potentially go on forever.
Yeah.
Because there's restaurants popping up all the time.
Every month.
Every month there's something new. I mean, what's the most interesting restaurant you've been to, you know, lately?
Just looking back over the years, good food really sticks to your head.
Yeah.
Because it's not about the taste in your mouth, it's about the experience.
Right.
Coming into the place. Doesn't matter if it's by the side of the road or if it's in a 5-star,
fancy pansy,
fork and knife. It doesn't matter. It's the experience. I mean, the waiter coming in to take your order, how long it takes for your order to come, and when you eat it, the burst of flavors in your mouth, all that is important.
Yeah.
So if any part of that suffers, then it's the experience. I mean, you can come to a 5-star Michelin restaurant, you know, and some guy called Pierre will come. And he takes 3 hours to cook it, you know?
And then when it comes, it's not perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. That, no matter how good it is, this guy is a jerk.
Yeah.
He pulled the wool over my eyes, man. You know, that's about it.
Right.
And so moving forward, I think, again, people must remember, taste is very, very out there.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't... be adventurous. Go out there and try it. And I'd say take a positive attitude when you eat food. I mean, as far as me being a Muslim is concerned, it is rizki. It is rizki for you. So you come in with a negative attitude towards it, man, you're going to be a hard person to please. Which about sums up 75% of my viewers. Tough crowd to please.
I can bet. I mean, let me give you an example. I mean, my... a relative of mine came to visit fairly recently, first time in Malaysia, and so I'm thinking in my head, you know, of all the dishes that I think he should try, nasi lemak obviously is one thing he must try, durian being the other thing,
he
must try, the other end of the spectrum. So I took him along to one of my favorite nasi lemak places, and he even before had taken a spoonful. Declined to even try.
Oy.
Right? Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, this man has insulted an entire nation already without even lifting
up. You see the look on my face?
Right, right.
Is that podcasting? Right.
Right. Without he's even, just afraid to try, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And it was because of what was on the plate. There were anchovies, of course. I mean, you know.
All right.
Was it a sambal one or was it a dry one?
It was a dry one, right? Which was even more my point. I'm like, but they don't even taste of fish, really. It's just like a salty kind of crunchy... You know, and so I said, just remove the fish then. You know, but they will have been cooked in fish. No. It depends on which restaurant you go to. You have to understand this. And it was this backwards and forwards kind of toing and froing that led me to the decision that perhaps taking him for durian that same evening was not a good idea.
No.
Because people come to me, and I've been here a long time now. You know, oh, you take durian, you can try durian. You know, many foreigners cannot. I'm like, I love the stuff. You know, you give me a durian buffet, I'm there.
He's an anomaly.
I think because you're here for too long.
Are you telling me to leave
long
now?
Long enough, I would say. Long enough.
Right,
To appreciate it.
Yeah.
But I've got to say as well, as someone who's traveled a lot and tried cuisine everywhere else,
we're
also bringing a new element. Every season now we go to one country, so we tried Cambodia.
Great idea.
This season. Khmer food is pretty much close to our palate.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make here is many people who are not Malaysians, probably outside the Asian continent, not really adventurous. They come here and they go, whoa, you guys are crazy. Yeah. You know, you're, I mean, it's... food is culture. Culture is food, really. And then the best way to really experience it is to come and experience the food. But that's probably the hardest thing
Agree.
To convince a tourist.
Agree, agree, yeah. I mean, I lived in China for an extended period of time.
Ooh.
And that, for me, really, truly opened my eyes. And I went in with the mindset of, I will try everything once.
Mm.
And I think if you do that, regardless of where you go, it gives you a great insight into the people, you know, if they're eating this, then maybe I should try a little bit of that. But to instantly refuse something without even trying it, I'm like, please.
No,
I mean, you've been in China for so long. What's the weirdest food that you've tried before?
Snake. Snake soup. I had some snake soup once. There's quite a few odd delicacies, let's say, that I have tried that I could probably not talk about on air.
What about you, Nazruddin?
Myself, well, there's another element to the show, which is halal. Must be halal compliant. So thank goodness for that, because maybe bugs and all these exotic stuff that some of us eat, I don't have to eat it. Oh, thank God.
Thank God. That's like X Factor, man.
Exactly. But we do have some weird halal food in Sabah. It's interesting to taste the food in Sabah because it really reflects the culture. The simple people, and because even the ecosystem is different.
Yeah.
The food tastes different.
Yeah.
The spices are different. So I tried something called ambuyat. Yeah. Ambuyat is actually starch, pure starch, and they have several condiments that you dip it in. Yeah. And they've got this sambal that they cook with a fruit called bambangan. It tastes like mango, sweet texture to it. So they mixed it. But hot is hot. No matter what country you go in, Malaysia, my we gali love our chili, man. Seriously. Yeah. What, Mexican come here and try our stuff?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you're supposed to dip it with chopsticks, and you're supposed to roll around the starch, and you're supposed to dip it, and you're supposed to eat it. So I didn't know you're supposed to just swallow it.
Okay. So you're chewing on this.
So I'm like, and it was, it was all over
like?
My mouth. And you can't get rid of it. You're like, give me some water. You're like washing it. It can't come off. And there's fire in your mouth. You know? Oh, no, you. And then, of course, the locals laugh at me first. So after they finish laughing, tearing up, and you're supposed to swallow it. Okay, fine. Let's do this again.
Right.
Do this again. Crazy, man.
As your face is like getting slightly less red.
Oh, yes. And of course, I've two towels of wet sweat. So you swallow the thing. My God, it's like swallowing fire. How about that? Because of the texture of the starch, it goes slowly down and it burns your throat all the way to your stomach. Oh, and that's awesome.
Now, awesome. Wow, that's some weird stuff, man.
You're going to try that.
But I mean, like, you know, you've tried a variety of food, you know, you're a food host. And now, how do you keep so fit?
First thing I'll say is the TV is a liar. but truth be told, we're taking another direction with Jalan-Jalan Cari Makan as well, in which we have Malaysia has a problem with obesity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah?
So enjoying good food does not mean you can let yourself go and just go what the Malay say, mentah kedarah. You just wag everything, you know. So we want to advocate the fact that you can try. There's great food in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Try it out. But for God's sake, try it out in a healthy way. That's why we don't eat 12 dishes anymore.
Yeah.
We concentrate on 4 or 5. Even that, I was complaining, hey, nobody eats 4 or 5. But okay, you come with the family, you can try a little bit of everything. That's fine, you know. And of course, we've gotten great sponsors who've come in and pushed this message across that we love to eat. Eat in Malaysia. Eat healthily. Live healthily.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Hold that thought, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Of course, we've got news from Page 2 coming up. And of course, Smarty Pants. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
We are joined in the studio today by
Nazruddin Rahman, a food extraordinaire.
Food extraordinaire.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
So you do enjoy your job though, right? Clearly.
For sure, man. For sure. Yeah. I mean, you mix broadcasting, which is a love, which is weird though. I didn't study broadcasting and sort of jumped into it, quit my job in the IT industry. And somebody just came up to me, hey, you want to be on TV? It's like, who does that? It's like, I call him crazy. And he go, no, I'm not crazy. I'm from TV3. Oh, that's crazy too. But, oi, really? Yeah, try out. So I tried out for a kid show and I never looked back.
Brilliant.
Yeah, all the way. I'm 18 years. And yes, and of course, you mix food into it. And Malaysia is truly a gastronomical delight.
I mean, this is basically, it's like a Malaysian's dream job almost, you know?
Yes, everybody wants my job. Just read
of
Twitter.
Of course.
Take a look at hashtag GGCM. I want your job. I want to be this guy. So actually, I'll throw out that challenge. Who dares eat with me?
I'll come with you one day. Yeah. Let's do that. Right, we got to move on, folks. We have this little thing that we like to call News from Page 2, and it sounds a little bit like this.
Extra, extra, be all about.
What's all the shouting?
Right, I go first.
Go on then.
Okay, my story is about China jaywalkers.
Okay.
So, a city in eastern China. So they're teaching jaywalkers a lesson about road safety by setting up makeshift classrooms near major intersections.
Shall we have that here as well? Because I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, I was thinking of that. We should have it here. Mm-hmm. So anyone caught dodging the traffic in this place called Suzhou in Jiangsu province. So they will be taken to one of the roadside rooms straight away and taught about traffic laws by the police officers.
They're going to get ticked off in a side room for crossing the road wrong.
Yes, immediately.
It's like a sin bin system.
That's like a sin bin system.
So they've already set up the classrooms nearby train stations, apparently.
They're doing it in the hotspots.
Yes, correct. And then, it's a lesson, you know, to replace usual cash fines. So instead of, you know, giving you a ticket, so they would take you to the classroom straight away and you're going to be taught immediately by police officers.
I kind of like that idea.
So they're going to be taught 30 basic rules and
30 about crossing the road.
Yes, basic rules and shown video footage of collisions to illustrate the danger of breaking traffic laws.
Nazruddin, do you have a story for us?
Well, actually, I do. Well, not as interesting as that one, but since it is BFM, I'm sure a lot of people tune in for maybe investment tips and that.
Have you got an insider tip for us?
Yes. I've got an insider tip of a particular commodity that has better returns than gold.
Oh.
What is that?
Yes, it is Lego.
Right.
Yes, there you go. I've got an article.
It's expensive stuff.
It is expensive stuff, but of course, what I'm talking about is the second market, yeah? Of course, Nike has, the shoe brand, has been killing with the second market by manipulating it in a certain way. Brilliant strategy.
Yeah.
And I think Lego has subtly taken over. They were almost bankrupt in 2007. And of course, the advent of Star Wars actually saved them. Mm-hmm. And a change in particular strategy. And let's take a look at this particular article. Yeah, Lego sets have been a better investment than gold since the year 2000. Skimming through the particular article, we're taking a look at 36% return on certain sets.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to look through the top five Lego sets in the world. Yeah. The top the one most sought after is the Millennium Falcon.
Of course.
Okay.
Of
that's
course.
The most iconic spaceship in the world.
Yeah.
Used to retail for, be converted, and even today's price in ringgit should be around 1,008. It was retailing back then, 2008. Now it is selling for nothing less than 22,000 ringgit in the market.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. And they actually have developed this, the fact that people are investing in Lego. So there's a website called Brick Picker that actually aggregates the price of Lego around the world.
Mm-hmm. Let me just quickly write that down. Was it brickpicker.com?
Right.
I'm on that.
Take a look at how real time you can see the price of your Lego go up and go down. Uh-huh. You've got alerts what some people are selling at what price and this and it's like
the
walk. Yeah,
it's regional as well. I mean, they only release certain things in certain regions of the world as well. Right?
Mm-hmm, exactly, and the demand for certain things are different in certain regions.
Right.
So because it's now global,
yeah.
So Lego's capitalized on this, and the fact they have an open market that buys and sells and has really good. So Wait, give me all your gold. Right. I'll convert it to Lego right now.
I have a just to add on to your story as well, did you know that Lego produce more tires than even the biggest tire manufacturers in the world?
Oh, absolutely, that was like one of our facts before.
It was, yeah.
Absolutely right.
Right. I have a little story, and this is the thing. I kind of read this headline and immediately went, well, duh. the headline is, everyone lies on the internet, right? Exactly. And then it's kind of according to new research. And when I read something that says according to new research, I'm like, okay.
It's not new.
Well, let's look at the new research and see exactly how you've come to the same conclusion that everybody who's used the internet has already concluded that, 10 years ago. Right? What they've done is there's a journal just come out called Computers and Human Behavior, conducted by a team of researchers who are interested in online honesty. And as they put it, whether or not people are depicting their true selves in line, online. So they kind of looked at a whole bunch of different types of website, and they broke it down to see on what kind of websites were people most honest and on what kind of websites were people the least honest.
Right.
Now, just between the three of us, let's have a guess at roughly where people may be less truthful and where people might be more truthful. Just have a guess.
LinkedIn?
LinkedIn would be most truthful.
Yeah. Right? And least truthful?
Facebook.
I'd say Instagram.
Okay.
Tinder.
There you go.
Right. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah.
Tumblr.
Tinder.
Oh, Tinder.
right. So, all in all, with our, how long was that, 45 seconds?
Of what?
Of thinking.
Yeah. We've just done their research for them, essentially. They've kind of broken it down, you know, what kind of lies are we talking about? Is it big lies, little lies, age, gender, you know, your income, that kind of stuff we've heard about before. Mm-hmm. What is interesting about their research is that they do this thing about the expectation of other people's honesty online. And the very fact that you mentioned LinkedIn straight away is something that, you know, for me is important, because I think that that tool of LinkedIn is these are your potential employees or your potential employers. You know, you have to be smart about this.
Yeah.
But I have seen people who have linked their LinkedIn to their Facebook page or to their Twitter page. And I'm like, no, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that, you know. Because these people will look you up. Yeah. You know, I mean, I pay for
people
my LinkedIn
thing. People are stalkers.
Of course.
But to be fair, as an employer as well, that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
because even if you're honest on LinkedIn, you think I'm just going to look at LinkedIn?
Of course.
Once your resume is in, I'm going to look for you everywhere.
Right.
It's just like how when we hire interns. Sorry, Barney. You know, when we hire interns to work with us, we would actually stalk our interns.
I think
every
stalking
social...
is a strange word
okay,
to
not
use.
Stalk. Okay, maybe not stalking. Maybe
research
we would
heavily.
Research, yes, heavily. Yes. Every part of social media. Mm-hmm. That's how we get to find, you know, something. Yeah, you know, you get what I mean?
Actually, we are looking for an intern right now as well. Just so we should quickly mention that.
Hide those ad pictures and those naughty selfies.
And stop ranting on Facebook.
Stop ranting on Facebook. Yeah, that doesn't help.
I don't understand.
Well, here's the thing about Malaysians. I do think I've got to highlight this, that the sheer fact that you have an internet connection does not make you God.
Right.
It does not. And the thing is, the fact that you're putting your thoughts out there, and as someone who gets regular hate on Facebook on many, many issues. And I've learned to listen, let it go, woosah, rub my ears, you know. But sometimes when it attacks your family and this and that, do they not realize that other people can read it and you can be identified?
Of course.
Yeah, it's like, it's oblivious. And I swear, if I saw you on the street and I asked you repeat that to me face to face, ad verbatim, no way they'd say it.
Yeah,
Simple as that.
Of course they wouldn't. No.
Yeah, and so the internet does not give you virtual bulletproof vest.
It does not.
That's right. So take note, guys.
Now, we've had a nice little rounded chat. We've had some fun. Mm-hmm. It's time for a quiz.
My God.
It sounds a little bit like this.
Smarty pants. 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 Smarty pants.
I see you rubbing your head.
I feel the pressure already.
How competitive are you?
Let's just I'm a pretty competitive guy, you know, but on Xbox it's fine, you know, but put me on a math Olympiad, I'm
I don't think there's any maths in this one. Actually, there's one kind of math question.
Really?
No!
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. Right. The idea is you have 3 minutes to answer as many questions as you can, right? Okay. Right. It's multiple choice. Okay. And if you don't know the answer genuinely, just say skip and we move right on. All right? Lowest score is 1. Highest score is 27.
More than one.
That's
than
all
one.
You need. That's
not
all you
be
need.
Last.
Right.
Be
your
last.
3 minutes start now. Yankee Stadium is located in which borough of New York City? Is it Boston or the Bronx?
Boston.
It's the Bronx.
Oh, no.
Right. Which country hosted the 1988 Winter Olympics? Was it Russia or Canada?
Canada.
88.
Canada.
Correct.
Yeah.
The Spectre organization first featured in which James Bond film? Is it Dr. No or Goldfinger?
Spectre. I know this one. Goldfinger.
Dr. No.
No.
Right. What is a baby skunk called? A kit or a skint?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Skint.
It's a kit. King Richard, Varna, and Otina are varieties of which vegetable? Leek or cabbage?
Poof, pass.
Colleen McLaughlin married which English footballer in 2008? Wayne Rooney or David Beckham?
Wayne Rooney.
Correct. What is the name of the futuristic nation in the 2012 film The Hunger Games? Panem or Amity?
Panem.
Correct. Slivovitz is a type of brandy made from which fruit? Cherry or plums?
Oh, I don't know my alcohol past.
Just have a guess.
Plum.
Correct. excuse me. Which British singer released a 1998 album called I've Been Expecting You? Was it Robbie Williams or David Bowie?
I'd guess with David Bowie.
Other side, my friend.
Oh, no.
I'll Be There For You, the song by the Rembrandts, is the theme song to which US TV comedy show?
Friends.
Correct. What type of creature is a capelin? A fish or a bird?
Oh, pass.
Nepotal pertains to which family member? A nephew or a niece?
Nephew.
Correct. What is the hottest planet in our solar system? Venus or Mercury?
Mercury.
It's Venus.
No.
How many players are on? How many players are there on the ice? On the ice in an ice hockey team, 6 or 8?
6.
Correct. Which French cabaret theatre has a windmill on the roof? The Moulin Rouge or the Cabaret Voltaire?
The Moulin Rouge.
Correct. What is the national animal of Greenland? Is it the polar bear or the walrus?
Greenland polar bear.
Correct. Who was the mother of the Greek god Eros? Aphrodite or Hera?
Aphrodite here.
Correct.
Yes.
Here's your maths question. Yeah. How many zeros are in a US billion? 8 or 9?
A US billion?
Correct.
What's the difference between US billion and the billion in the world? 9.
Correct. Miércoles is the Spanish name for which day of the week? I probably pronounced it terribly wrong. Wednesday or Thursday?
I'd say Wednesday.
Correct. Odontology is the scientific study of what? Teeth or bones?
Teeth.
Correct. Which tea blend is said to be named after a 19th century British Prime Minister? Darjeeling or Earl Grey?
Earl Grey.
Correct. Final question. What is the English name for the American game of checkers? Is it drafts or dumb?
Drafts.
Well done. We are out of time. We'll be back after these messages just to find out how well he did on Smarty Pants. You are listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. Quick reminder, 016-201-9000. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chu.
This
and
is...
Nasruddin Rahman. Thank you very much for listening.
We've had a lot of fun so far, right?
Well, my armpits are still wet. My God, that was a stressful... That's what.
But before that, you know, the chat we had about the food and the show and everything, that was wonderful. The quiz, obviously, we put you under pressure on purpose.
Under pressure.
So what we'll do is we'll go through some of the questions you got wrong, and then we'll tell you how well you did.
All right, okay.
So do that then.
All right, the first one, the Spectre organization first featured in which James Bond film is Dr. No?
I'm upset because I'm a big Bond fan.
Are you really?
Yeah, man.
What is a baby skunk called? A kit? King Richard, Varna, and Otina are varieties of which vegetable is leek?
I would never have guessed that. And I'm guessing you could walk into
a massive
restaurant.
I just eat them.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah,
who cares what it's
to me, a leek is a leek.
So which British singer released a 1998 album entitled I've Been Expecting You is Robbie Williams. Which is the hottest planet in our solar system is Venus. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
That's it. Right. That's it. Okay, let's have a drum roll.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nasruddin Rahman scored 15 points.
Oh. 50%.
It's okay.
I passed la.
We finished, what, 22 questions?
We said if you get somewhere between 1 and 27, we're okay. It's all
awesome. Right. And also, I mean, I'm lazy, and so I'm used to disappointments.
Oh.
I was upset, yeah, during the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. You're not the only one, yeah.
I had a long talk with my daughter as well. So now she wants to win a medal for Malaysia.
Excellent.
Well done.
There you go.
Let's hope we see that then, right? Okay, so what time's you on and when can we see you? And, you know, when are you going to be jalan-jalaning?
Yeah, for sure. Just to wrap things up, we're already in the last episode for this season.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a quick break and we'll be back, of course, with more food. We're still going on air every Sunday, 12 p.m. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can start hunting for the food. We'll put up the addresses on Instagram and Facebook by 12:30. Go ahead, have fun. We're on repeats as well. We'll look out for Jalan Jalan Cari Makan throughout the week on, of course, Media Prima Station TV Tiga.
Lovely.
You know what? We all should Jalan Jalan Cari Makan together.
We should.
Oh, we should.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because it would be a nice mix, you know.
Yeah.
We got two Malaysians and a white fella. Throw them in a room together. Eat this.
Actually, yeah.
I mean, could work.
I mean, of course, we've got different palettes.
Yes,
exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah. Could be interesting. Right, so what we do at the end of the show, we give a little fact out that we've learned throughout the day. Adeline normally has about 20. how many have you got today?
I have two, but I'm going to choose one.
Oh, go on then.
So if you inhale a pea, P-E-A, okay, pea.
Okay, good. I'm glad you clarified.
Yes, thank you.
It can sprout and grow in your lungs.
Oh, apple seeds as well from, oh no, apple seeds. Give you cyanide.
Yes.
It's a different thing.
Just tell your fact. Don't be a spy.
Okay. Did you know that every day 16% of the searches that occur on Google are searches that Google has never seen before?
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah,
people are coming up different with things to look for on Google.
New ideas all the time.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for coming on. It's been an
absolute
pleasure. Had a lot of fun.
I learned a few things as well. Thank you, guys.
There you go.
Much appreciated.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back, of course, tomorrow. Do not go anywhere. It has been that time of night. I've been Rich Bradbury.
And I've been Adeline Chung.
This has been
Nazruddin Rahman. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. You have been listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.